I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 9 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast, The Gratitude Experiment. So when we started this podcast a while ago, the very first episode of Season 1 was titled These Are the Days. And when we recorded it and it aired on June 24th of 2020, we were in the middle of a pandemic. And looking back, it was truly the perfect way to kick off a podcast about intentionally taking life off autopilot. And while we live in a time that people often post images of being hashtag blessed, it's more than a hashtag. Gratitude and mindfulness are practices that require work, thought, and practice. And so today we're kind of just looking at, you know, in this week of Thanksgiving, gratitude and mindfulness.
Yeah. Episode one, who can forget? I think the title for the show, The Gratitude Experiment, it's an aggressive title. I don't think it's going to be quite accurate to what we're talking about, but we made a good title.
So you named it.
Right. But that's what we were talking about. So the gratitude experiment sounds so scientific, like there was some intentional process and a control group of some sort. But really, I guess I titled this more from just my own experience over the last, I'd say, about 60 days, because like you said, one of the things that I've discovered is that even though I generally feel grateful for the things in life, just kind of as a general overall feeling, I don't actually put any time and attention into that feeling. So I tried. So that's why I'm calling it an experiment.
Well, and I think that's kind of like your general disposition is you're generally pretty content. And you realize that, like, you have many blessings in your life, you know, whether it's your gorgeous wife or your fabulous kids or your great house or your neighborhood or community. I mean, you're generally like, yes, those are all good things. But what I've noticed in you in the last 60 days is just like this intentionality of like really appreciating what you have and naming it.
Yeah. I wouldn't have phrased it like that, but I like it.
Okay. Pema Chodron says it like this: appreciate everything, even the ordinary, especially the ordinary. And I think that notion seems to be harder to do in our modern world. Like, we skip the ordinary, you know, hoping to live and be extraordinary, which we've had that conversation before. And really, when it boils down to it, everything is in the ordinary. And that was what that first episode of our podcast about was like, these are the days, like even in the ordinary, in the mundane, at that time in the lockdown of COVID, like these are the days. And there's beauty and there's life and there's goodness even in trying times.
Yeah. In the midst of the ordinary. It reminds me of that play. What's it called? Our Town by Thornton Wilder.
Which I have never read. And the only reason I feel like I know that it was in an episode of The Wonder Years many years ago.
Oh, it's also in the movie Wonder.
Oh, that's right.
Right, or at least briefly featured in it. So I don't think it's actually that great of a play. Now, that might be controversial because it is very well known. But part of the, at least, point of the play is to appreciate the ordinary things, which I think it's part of its demise too, is that it's just like it's focused on like ordinary everyday kinds of things, which is not normally why we go and see stories or cinema or anything like that. But like if you look at the scenes in that, there's because it deals with death as well, and like the things people miss when they die, and it's the ordinary things. And one famous line is goodbye ticking clocks. And you never, even when clocks are ticking, like you don't notice them. But once you lose those ordinary things, your connection to them, then it is missed. It is noticed. And so I think that's part of the attitude I tried to take to it. It was like, what are the everyday people or things or experiences that I generally enjoy or maybe don't think about, but I want to at least take a few moments to think about it. So that was, for me, that was experiment number one. This episode is also going to be about a second kind of experiment that I've been doing, which is just with mindfulness, which is a big growth point for me. So I'm happy to report that I've been applying a lot of the wisdom that our guests and a lot of our readings have shared with us over the past year.
Okay. Let's define gratitude just real quick. Like, we kind of all know what it is, but it's kind of always nice to kind of go back to like, so what is gratitude? And gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It's the readiness to show appreciation for and to returned kindness. And I feel like there's kind of three parts of gratitude where it's like this recognition, and then acknowledgement and appreciation. And so really, in order to do all of that, those three steps, it requires this process of like slowing down, of listening. And it's not really necessarily listening to anyone else, but it's kind of like listening to, or kind of searching deep down in yourself to kind of find like these notions of what's valuable to you and what you find gratitude in, and then reflecting on that. And when we do that, we can see that there's some benefits and there's some results from that three-step process.
Yeah. And that's pretty thorough, a three-step process, because we think of gratitude as...
I'm thankful. And right, and it kind of ends there. And if you ask the kids, you know, they do the same thing, like, you know, thank you for this food, thank you for my family, thank you for my friend. Like, it's just like, it's very rote. And I think, you know, I think if you think about gratitude or thankfulness, like that's kind of what we let it become. But it really is this shift in kind of digging deep and kind of really thinking through it, which if you've ever done it is actually harder than it looks.
Yeah. Although I like my practice, and we'll talk about like what we have been doing for that, but I don't feel like it's a strenuous or deep process. I wouldn't say it's superficial either, but it's definitely not, it's not a heavy lift.
No, but you have to make the decision to lift.
Yes. So it is a choice. And actually, so if you're watching, then you'll see a small stack of books on our little table here. And so we were reviewing, we have actually a few different texts here, but it's funny how often gratitude is brought up, and as well as mindfulness, like in a lot of the things that we've been reading. So I think it's only a matter of time before it like finally sinks in. But we have Nero Feliciano's book. If you remember, we spoke with her last spring, and she published a book called This Book Won't Make You Happy. And there's a lot of great advice in it, but there's a whole chapter devoted to gratitude. So what she is talking about, or one of the things that she says, is that it's a focus on what we have rather than on what we lack. And that gratitude might not just be a key to our own happiness and contentment, but it might be the key to it. And she gets into it much more thoroughly. But, you know, I think at the time, you know me, like I'll listen to people and...
You'll read their book, you'll interview them.
I'll agree with them. And, you know, but at the same time, it takes a while for something to sink in. Like it's pretty rare that I hear something and then go and apply it the next day. But
which is why when I suggest something, I don't get offended when it takes you 1 to 3 years to
hop
on board.
There's a degree of coming around to it as well. So that's why I wanted to reread it. Now, actually, I want to reread Nero's whole book because it is just like these simple things. And she outlines a couple of things that are relatively easy to do, but she emphasizes that gratitude is a choice. And it doesn't have to be like this all-encompassing, like time-consuming kind of choice, but it is a daily choice to have a certain posture towards what we have.
Well, we were out to dinner with friends on Friday night, and we were just talking about, we were talking about a lot of things. And one thing that came up, or one person that came up, was Jay Shetty. And she said that she followed him on Instagram and had listened to some of his work, but had not read his book. And I said, oh, you know what? I read that book about a year ago and I thought it was really good. And so then I went and pulled out Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty, which I remember had an entire chapter devoted to gratitude. And he says, when we are present in gratitude, you can't be anywhere else. There's no dwelling in the past or worrying about the future. Instead, you're finding peace and contentment right where you are in the present. And that really just piggybacked off of what our friend was saying. She's like, I often find myself like so caught up in what's coming next that I'm never just still in what is happening right now. And I think that's something that a lot of people can probably agree with or relate to, right? Like a lot of our time can be spent really just dwelling in the past, like something that did not go right or something that we're disappointed in, right? We kind of live there, or we're living on fast forward, like what's yet to come. And I think both mindfulness and gratitude like really ground us in the present. Like when I do my practice in the morning, it's like I'm very in tune with where I am now and what I need today or mm-hmm. what I need to focus on today, or how I need to shift my thinking for the day. And it really then impacts really what the rest of my day is like.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like this mind lift that then shifts your intentions and your actions to be aligned with where you are now, not where you need to be or where you were.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll talk about that exact same principle when it comes to mindfulness too. But I think that's a good way of putting it, is like before we go and get our day, we take a few moments to consider what we already have.
Well, and to me, it kind of feels like driving a car, where it's like, you know where you're going ahead of time. Like when you sit down and are mindful and practice gratitude, it's like you now have a direction and a framework for like where you're going, instead of just getting in the car and randomly trying to get somewhere in a hurry, mm-hmm. right? And so I feel like, you know, those two things go hand in hand, both the intention, which is mindfulness, the quality or state of being conscious and aware of something. So if you're aware of your gratitude and have gratitude, it can really shift where you are and where you're going.
Yeah, I think that's where my struggle was before I started doing this, was I wasn't aware of the gratitude. I'd have random moments where I would be like, oh, I really appreciate my job, or I appreciate, you know, maybe something about the house. Or it's a little bit easier when somebody does something for you and you just thank that person, but that's more habitual too.
But really, no one should have to do anything for you to feel grateful. There are so many things to be grateful for that it shouldn't be dependent on someone else.
Well, I know, but I'm saying like when someone, like when you, when you hand me something, oh,
thank you.
Thanks for passing me the milk. Right. That's not sincere gratitude, or that's not really like a posture of gratitude. So, I think I can't talk about my experience with this unless I talked about morning routines as well.
Okay.
Because like a lot of things, if it doesn't happen in the morning for me, then it probably won't happen at any point during the rest of the day either. So there's always an ebb and flow to morning routines. And I think that depends on just what's going on and where we're at. But really, for a little while now, I've returned to the familiar practice of waking up, usually at 5 in the morning, and then I work out. And then there's a lot of details here, then certain steps. Then you pour the coffee, then you drink the protein shake. Then I come into the living room while the coffee is cooling. And that's when I'll do I use Headspace, which is an app for mindfulness. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. And then after that, I go back in the kitchen and I have this handy dandy handwritten journal that I've included a lot of different notes on over the last couple of years. And that's where I've been keeping my gratitude journal as well. And so I stole the format for your, so Rosanna has this 5-minute journal.
Which I talk about, like I swear, in every other episode on this podcast.
Yeah, you've probably heard us recommend that before.
Which can be purchased straight from Amazon for like $28.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have any sponsors or affiliate links or anything we're trying to sell you here. So this is all just straight from our experience. But I just have a short format. So I'll start by listing 3 things that I am grateful for. And then I will list 1 thing that would make the day amazing. And then I list 1 positive affirmation about myself.
Okay.
And that's pretty much, I left some things out of what's actually in your 5-minute journal. Because you have like a nighttime reflection on the day as well.
I do.
So I don't have that part, and I'm not opposed to it. I just haven't really built that in.
Well, what's interesting about that part in my journal, which, you know, I can pretty consistently do like the morning portion, which includes the same thing. But, you know, we've talked about manifesting this season on the podcast. What's interesting to see is at the end of the day, so it does the same thing. I'm grateful for what would make today great, and my daily affirmation. And then at the bottom, it says 3 amazing things that happened today. And then 1 question, how could I have made today even better? So it's good because you kind of like are coming full circle. But if you're looking at manifesting, you can kind of see like what you're putting out there of like what you're grateful for and what would make today great. And you can see like when those things are returned. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like the same day, you know, it depends on what you list, what would make today great. Sometimes it's the things that make today great are very simple, and you can kind of see those like come back on that same day. And there are other things that I put out there at the start of the week that then come to fruition at the end of the week. And so that's kind of the interesting part about like the morning and the evening, and you can track that over time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's part of what I remember reading about gratitude too. It's not so much like, you know, how extreme your feeling is, but it's really like the consistency of it. And I'm sure it's like same thing with the other things that we're writing down and manifesting, like just the consistency of some of the things that are there and the practice of it is really where the magic is. So do you want to give a sample?
Oh, I should have told me that I would have picked one. I mean, sometimes there's things that I don't want to necessarily share.
Okay.
Why don't you start and I'll peruse through here and pick something that's appropriate.
Okay. All right. So this morning, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't read this one.
All right, here, I've got one.
I'm just looking at this. I'm like, do we want to, I'll read it actually, but it's private, but anyway.
Okay. What's also great about the 5-minute journal is, there's a quote at the top, every single day. And they're also like usually pretty good insights, very different than the, what's the name of the vitamins we take?
What do you mean?
You know, the vitamins on the counter that are pre like packaged.
Like, oh, like the care of.
Oh, the care of. So we do care of vitamins, and that's got like some quote on it. And they're
I'm
just
start tagging all of these people that were mentioning
random quotes that are like, okay, great, didn't need to know that. But at the start of this was on 10/24, so this was a few weeks ago, almost a month ago. Wow. Let's love ourselves, and then we can't fail to make a better situation tomorrow. Our seeds will grow. All we need is dedication. So, okay. Thought of the day. Great. So I am grateful for, and I wrote 2 more successful weddings done. We had a double booked wedding weekend that weekend. New business inquiries rolling in. And the third one, my sweet Juliet, who turned 8. Okay. So that was on 10/24. What would make today great? A walk outside under the leaves, catch up on work, and a good meeting. Apparently I had a meeting that day. And then 3, taking a little time to rest. And then my daily affirmation was, I am a good mother to my kids.
There you go. Yes, you are.
So, you know, it's just stuff like that, like just kind of like naming things, being grateful, right? Like a lot of that had to do with business, but even just like the thought of like my sweet daughter who's turning 8, you know, and just, you know, relishing in that moment, relishing in who she is. But even what would make today great, like none of those things were extraordinary things. But I was able to mindfully consider like where I was. And so like after a busy weekend, like a walk outside under the leaves to like clear my mind, to like enjoy nature, just to get out, you know, catching up on work, and taking time to rest, which I am the worst at that. So even just naming that, like, this is what I need, you know, and being mindful and being grateful that I have that time built into the day to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of like a little sample.
Yeah, I found that with the one thing that would make today great. Sometimes it's something that, or usually it's something that I can control. And then that's helpful to be like, oh, I said this would make today great. So let me make sure that I do this thing.
Which is, you know, that notion of manifesting. Let me put that out there. And then when you're intentional about it, you can.
Yeah, kind of... Well, it's almost like, you know, miniature goal setting. Okay. Without calling it that. All right. So this is from this morning. I'm going to censor this slightly because I just realized as about to read it. Can't back down now. All right. So I listed 3 things I'm grateful for. So I wrote down watching Avengers with the boys last night. So we do this thing every few weeks where we take a TV and we put it in the kids' room. It's so it's just so unique for them. We're like, oh, TV in the room. So we watched Avengers together last night on our boys' bed. I'll just say that Rosanna and I had some pleasant interaction yesterday.
Some adult time?
Yeah.
Okay.
May or may not have been in the shower. And we also...
Oh, okay.
And you also made a lovely like salmon salad for dinner yesterday too, which I really appreciate.
Are you talking about the stir fry?
Yeah, but there was salmon on it.
There was no salad involved.
Well, whatever you want to call it.
All right, but yeah. You enjoyed it. I'm glad that you enjoyed that.
I'm grateful for your feedback. I only wrote down one thing. I'm just going to let Rosanna read this here. Well, speaking of manifesting.
I'm not reading that.
Well, not out loud.
I read it. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
One thing that would make today great for Jordan, something I will not read out loud to you.
I figure, you know, we have some time together today. Not a heavy agenda.
Well, not for you, apparently.
I can dream, right? And so I only write down one thing that would make today great. I noticed you had 3.
Yeah.
And one affirmation I wrote down, I am intentional with my conversations. because I was reading a book this morning all about being intention, like how to define your intent behind conversations, a future guest that you'll hear on the podcast. So that's just a sampling. But if I go through each day, it's the exact same thing. Like the three things I'm grateful for, usually they're small things. I wrote down on Wednesday last week, I'm grateful for a home that is decorated for each season by Rosanna. You show up a lot in here.
I was going to say, like, what kinds of things do you write down? What comes up most often? Like, have you looked at it and just to kind of look at like what trends or like where your thankfulness lies or where the gratitude is?
Yeah. And sometimes you're sitting there and you've experienced this too, right? You're sitting like, all right, I got to think of three things. All right. Three different things I'm grateful for. Here we go. Number one.
I wrote yesterday.
But actually, it's funny the things that come up. And I've found that I get more specific, or I've gotten more specific as time has gone on, too. Because if I just say I'm grateful for Rosanna, then that's good. But that's so general. So now, like, being able to name something precise about you or about what you did or about what we shared, like, that's what changes. And so that shows up a lot. I did write down I'm grateful for my dog. At the start of this year, I didn't see that coming, but I did express a little gratitude, grateful for different people, different experiences, different things that we have. So,
well, and gratitude allows us to appreciate the value of something and makes us less likely to take it for granted. You know, it's not that the thing needs to be valuable itself, you know, that it's an object or something that's spent money on, but it's really thinking about the value of something or someone. Mm-hmm. And so it's based on, you know, just like that love and that appreciation. And I think that's what gets missed so frequently in the day-to-day. We're so busy living in the day-to-day from thing to thing, from activity to meal to, you know, what's next, that we're not taking the time to look at the value of something. So the ticking clock or, you know, the plants that I'm watering or like, you know, whatever. It's like things that do spark joy, but we just let them become so common and ordinary that we kind of lose what value that they do have for us.
Yeah. So I'd consider that that's like phase one of gratitude, because even when I write down something about you, I don't go and tell you about it, which I would say is like phase two, like the expression of gratitude.
Right. So we talked about the recognition of it, the acknowledgement of it, and like then like how do you and appreciation, like how do you move from just like naming it to then like letting that kind of transferring that or doing something with it. So you can name it, you can be thankful, but like that's, yeah, like level one. So then how do you move past just like, in my journal, I'm going to be grateful for my wife, or I'm going to name that I'm grateful for my wife, but it doesn't necessarily need to stop there.
Right. And so that's when you get into the actions and expressions of gratitude. So there's a lot of things that you just appreciate, but maybe you can't thank it. Like I also wrote down, like, I'm thankful that I'm an adult in my own house and I can turn the thermostat to whatever the heck I want it to. You know, it's been a little colder the last few days. I'm like, I want to be warmer in my house. I'm thankful I can just crank that thing. But I can't go thank the thermostat, you know.
Nor do you need to.
Right. But I like when I do think about a person or something associated with a person, then I think that's where the opportunity comes in. So I can verbalize that to you. I could also, like, I think handwritten notes go a long way, right? Even if it's still you, right? But seeing something written down is a little bit different. It just changes the medium. Or certainly if we have colleagues or relatives, like just finding a way, whether it's an email or a text or in person or something mailed, like there's a lot of different ways that gratitude can be expressed.
I'm thinking of this is just like the silliest little thing, but you know, now we're getting closer to Christmas. And so, you know, my family is, everyone's going back and forth about what the kids want, what the kids need, who's buying what for, you know, just that whole thing. And I was talking to my mom and, you know, we've, just talking about like experiences versus gifts and whatnot. And so we were talking about buying Raging Waves tickets, you know, they go on sale, which is great. And so, you know, all right, are we going to do this again? We did this last year for our family and it was great. Cause then we all went together and whatnot. And so I had mentioned to my mom, just like kind of like offhand, I said, well, yeah, I had ordered some. And then I had forgot to order ones for my parents, or like, I decided later that I wanted my parents to go when we went. And so I had told my mom, like, well, yeah, I got the discount tickets for us and for my brother's family. But then when I bought my parents' tickets, I said, you know, I just bought them full price. And my mom was like, oh, I can't believe you did that. And I was like, Mom, are you okay? And she's like, well, what did you do that for? And I said, are you like, aren't you worth it? Like, and that's why I said, you're worth a full price, you know, water park ticket. I said, like, you know, all the ways that you love us and the sacrifices you make for us and like the family dinners. Like,
how many we pay full price for everything. And right. Suddenly we and do for one
but
more.
But it was just like that little like glimmer of like, that she was worth a full price ticket. She didn't have to wait for the discount that I bought it anyways. And that I thought nothing of it. It was just like, kind of just this like silly exchange of like, yeah, who the heck cares? Like, you're worth the full price ticket, you know? And it was just, you know, it warmed her heart a little bit. And so, you know, it's those silly things that, you know, showing gratitude and appreciation, you know, can mean a lot.
Yeah. Can you thank yourself? Can you show gratitude to yourself?
I don't know. I never thought about that.
I just remember, gosh, I want to say it's Snoop Dogg. It could have been someone else, but
I want to thank me.
Right. You know what I'm talking about, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
It's like an acceptance speech. It's like, I want to thank myself. No days off, long hours. And it's like, you know what? I think there's a point there. Like, it seems egotistical, but actually it's honest too.
Well, and I think that's part of the gratitude journal is that you write an affirmation about yourself. Like, that it's okay to like name and claim like the good parts of you. Like, there are always things to work on, but there are, I mean, I'm horrible at this. Like, when someone gives me a compliment, I literally cringe, like my shoulders go up. It's hard for me to take a compliment, but it's me realizing and being able to like name like what's good or what I see in me kind of has shifted my mindset into like what I think I deserve, who like what I value and like what I'm working towards. And so I think that there's a connection there.
Yeah. All right. So that's one thing we've been experimenting with. And obviously the connection is Thanksgiving, but I like one of my takeaways is like, all right, I think it's a great cultural practice that we have of having a day set aside for the giving of thanks. And I know there are better ways to do Thanksgiving as a culture. But really, like personally, I'm more thinking about not just the day, but what we're looking at is the practice. And so anyone listening to this, even if it's after Thanksgiving, consider not just how to be grateful or acknowledging that once, but is there a way that you can weave this into I guess the word I've been using is this posture, like this regularity of being able to acknowledge and be grateful for the things that you already have. And I'd say like, this takes me 5 minutes in the morning.
Right. And so it's not a hard thing to do, but you still have to commit to doing it. And then you still have to do it. Right. Yes. There are many things that are not hard to do, but it's a choice.
Yeah.
And it's a choice to continue to do it daily, weekly, monthly. But if you think about like why these things make life better, there's actually like a science of mindfulness and gratitude. Yeah. And they basically just say in general, I mean, you could read this on a variety of websites from a variety of different sources, but like when you start your day with gratitude, you'll be open to opportunities and not obstacles. It induces a mindset shift in your thoughts and then how you behave. And so they've tracked this scientifically, and they say people who practice gratitude, see benefits, physically, psychologically, and socially. And so anything from physical to stronger immune systems, less aches and pains, lower blood pressure. People who exhibit more gratitude tend to exercise more and take better care of their health. Supposedly, they sleep longer and feel more refreshed.
So it's just everything.
Right. And everything. So those are just kind of physical manifestations of this posture and practice of gratitude. Psychologically, they say that you have higher level of positive emotions because you're not dwelling in what you didn't get or what went wrong. You're like kind of focused on finding the good. And in life, we know that there's like a ton of shit that happens, right? Like, we've had a year. There's been a lot that has happened, a lot of ups and downs. But like, are you dwelling on the negative or are you focusing on like the things that you do have? They say you're more alert, more alive, and more awake if you practice mindfulness and gratitude. You have more joy and pleasure in your life and more optimism. And then socially, you're more generous and compassionate towards others. You're more forgiving, more outgoing, less lonely and isolated.
Okay. So everything.
Yeah.
But what are the downsides?
So why not?
What are the dark downsides of gratitude?
No, I don't know. You've got to, yeah.
Yeah. And I was looking up similar information, but also for mindfulness. And then I just stopped writing because it's like every article lists like 28 benefits of mindfulness. And it's all like the same. It's like, so it's just everything. Your whole life just goes up at least one notch when you're doing these simple things.
So when you talk about like unlocking your next level, right? Or like leveling up, you know, we often think about diet. We often think about exercise. And those are components which all have like all of these same benefits. But practicing gratitude is like helps you unlock that next level, that helps you get to where you want to go. And so if you're not doing it, like, you know, how can you sprinkle this into whether it's your morning routine or your daily habits? And, you know, everybody is different and everybody has, you know, their own daily flow. So maybe it's you do it at the end of the day, or you do it on your lunch break at work, or you do it in your car, or, you know, through an app. There's no wrong way to do it. So whether you have a guided journal or a guided prompt or just, you know, an app, there's really no wrong way to do it. It's just experimenting with what works for you.
Yes. So along those lines, let's transition to talking about mindfulness as well, because you know, I really started the year, but even just over the last few months, I've especially looked at becoming a stronger, better person. And I think I've avoided these practices for a long time because for me, it always needed to be action oriented. Like I want to become a stronger, better person. So I'm going to work out, or I'm going to like just fill in the blank with something that, you know, I can do. And the shift for me, and I wanted to talk about this because I'm hoping maybe there's some listeners like myself who have maybe been curious but hesitant. But the shift for me was recognizing that I needed to really make, I guess I wanted to make my mind stronger, is the way that I would put it. So instead of just, I guess, having these outward attitudes I could like will myself into, I'm like, what would it look like to have more control, more maturity, more wisdom, better understanding of myself and of my surroundings? Like what would that look like? And there's really no practical way to do that except to do it internally. So enter my curiosity about gratitude, but also about mindfulness. So I've been using, I mentioned that I've been using an app called Headspace. This was recommended to me by a psychologist friend that we have. And I was curious about Headspace. So I got some kind of like promotional, it costs money, but I got a promotional code. And then I think for a full month, I was able to use it for free. So let me just try to describe my experience. And then I'm not even sure like what words are most accurate to put towards it. But like I said, it's part of my morning routine, and I'll come into our living room, which now this time of year is still very dark in the morning, and I'll plug in an earphone, and then there's different prompts. So there's different levels. So I started really at the entry point in Headspace, which is just these like 5 minute, like they call it basics. And the whole goal of all of the ones that I've been doing, starting with the basics, is to, I would say like awareness is one of the key terms, like become more aware of what your mind is doing. And then not to control it or to fight against it, but to also,
is it like to guide it?
I suppose. So the way they describe it is like, there's a few analogies. One is that, the sunshine is always there, but sometimes like the more thoughts we have, then the more clouded the sky becomes. But you know, like on the other side of the clouds is the sun. So then the goal is to just watch the clouds pass and let the sun shine back through. Or the same thing with traffic. Like your thoughts are like all of the cars flinging by you on the road. And you're just standing on the side of the road watching the thoughts go by. Now we're tempted to like jump into one of the cars and go zooming away too. And but the goal is to recognize that and then take a step back and just allow the cars to pass. And so really what the practice is trying to focus on your breath and focus on the moment. And now I've upgraded. So now it's about 10 to 15 minutes of my day. And it's tough, I would say that, because my mind is very active. And so sitting still is not, it's not a strength of my mind.
It's true. You don't like to sit. You like very, you like to be productive and like, and to do things. And if you're not, then you're asleep. There's like no middle ground for you. There's no like slow, like.
Like we've talked about, like I don't just sit and just watch TV and right. Most days. Because I feel like my mind wants to be entangled in something.
Engaged, yeah.
So, but it's often lost in thought. And so like these practices, I laugh at myself because, you know, there's this very, like the voices on this are great. This guy has like a soft English accent and he just is like, if you find yourself getting distracted, then just let your thoughts go and come back to the breath. And that's really what you're trying to do is to, right, you said this, where so much of your time mentally is spent replaying past events or anticipating future events, or I would even add a third one, which is just inventing like hypothetical events.
To get upset about.
That will never happen. But, and a lot of that is healthy, like just your regular run-of-the-mill daydreaming.
Sure.
So I don't think that's wrong, but it's also if you recognize how little control we have over it, and we like to think of ourselves as controlled, like rational people, but how much of our thoughts do we actually have control over? So these are some of the things that I was recognizing, and I pulled out the book that I read this summer by Ed Moylett called The Power of One, and he talks about a lot of different things, but it's mostly mental. And he keeps coming back to the idea of there's a degree of work that you can put into improving the ways that you think. And so it was that, you know, that book was kind of like one of the final nudges to be like, okay, like I need to actually put some time into this. You can't just tell your mind to suddenly think new. You have to train it to do that. And so that's what I consider this is, even though I'm not good at it, sitting still and just trying to think about nothing except the air coming in and out of my lungs over and over again is really hard. But I can do it. And then when a thought does come up, then the practice is to recognize when a thought comes up and then just to let it go, let it move on its way. And your attention is then back to the moment and back to the breath.
Well, how many times do people complain about, like, when I go to bed, I'm sitting there and my mind is racing and I can't fall asleep, or I wake up in the middle of the night? And, you know, that's because we do. We have a lot on our plate and we're balancing a lot. But are we investing in the time to be able to quiet our mind, right? And to put those things away and to know that, like, right now I need to rest, right? Like, that there's time for work and there's even time for worry and there's time for planning, but there's also time that we need to be able to, like, calm our minds, right? Just like we keep our body still, we have to learn how to keep our mind still, you know, for our own mental health and for our own physical health, because those two are related.
Yeah. And that is one of the things that always comes up, and it comes up with this even on the Headspace app, that mindfulness helps to reduce depression and anxiety and stress. And so you name a lot of those bad mental things that we want to avoid, mindfulness helps reduce those. And then just like you were listing with gratitude, like mindfulness helps to increase a lot of the positive things that we're pursuing, your focus, your contentment, your self-control. And so that's what I entered into. It was how can I make my mind stronger? And so I'm kind of doing these exercises with the idea that, and they're all pretty much the same right now, but eventually like branching out. And if I do have this improved ability to focus, or this improved ability to remain calm in given circumstances, or to have this heightened self-awareness, then I can imagine that there's different ways that I can deploy this in certain circumstances I'm in.
Well, can I give you an observation of what I've noticed in you that has changed a little bit in these like last 60 days? Just by default, like your natural inclination is, if something is bothering you, to A, not acknowledge it, B, not communicate it, and C, to like shove it way the hell down. Like that's just you. I think you get that from your mom. Like I think it's just like, whether it's genetic or learned behavior, I don't really know. You've always been like that. And for me, that's always been like a frustrating thing. Because we've talked about like something bothers me, you're going to know. You're going to know like immediately and pretty loudly, and then it kind of blows over and then it moves past, kind of like the clouds. But it's harder for me to understand you, or like where you're coming from, or to at least acknowledge like what you need when it's buried. And so I've seen you in a couple different instances, like naming out loud to me verbally, like a feeling or emotion. And even if like you don't know like what's next, like you're able even just to do that, where it's like, okay, I've thought about this, like I've acknowledged it, and I'm telling you that. And then it like kind of lets me know where you're at, and it allows me to kind of like love you and support you better. And so I think even this practice of like you know, whatever these thoughts are coming to your mind, you like, you acknowledge it and then you like move it so that it's not impeding your growth or your progress, but you're able to like acknowledge it and name it. And so I've seen that. And even one time I like literally like you were standing at the stove, I think making breakfast and you said it. And I was just like, can I just tell you right now that you A, named a feeling, B, discussed like why it may be bothering you. And you just did it very like very casually and openly, which is not like you. And so I'm seeing like that has a benefit for you in terms of like being stronger, both like mentally and then like, you know, what that does for our marriage in terms of like communication and then how we can support each other. And so I've seen that.
Well, it's good. You know, it's been a journey, but and it was funny, it's like the mindfulness like is I'm not thinking about emotions. Like I feel them. Just like you might feel like, I might feel like pain in my back or something. But the whole idea is like to just acknowledge it, but not dwell on it. See it as something that's happening like, you know, outside of yourself in a sense. So I'm glad that it does have payoff then at certain moments where maybe, and what's hard is you can't quantify any of this. So now it's like, all right, we have this kind of anecdotal evidence that it seems to be helping. But it's hard to say like, oh, yes, I'm 5% more aware.
Well, and it's not always about that, though. Like even, you know, in doing the gratitude and like naming things that would make today great or an affirmation about myself, like there are times that I can acknowledge, you know, what's holding me back in my business is this fear of blank. And so it no longer like keeps me hostage, but it makes me aware. And then I have a choice. What am I going to do to like move forward from that? And I think that's what's important. It's this mental shift and it's this mental game where like, are you going to let everything that happens to you or every thought that you have hold you back? Or are you going to like look at it, face it, acknowledge it and, you know, move forward, move around it, move past it, move it out of your way? Like you have options when you can look at it in the face and call it what it is.
You know, one thing that the Headspace app offers to do is to like have you each day like track your stress and anxiety on a scale of 1 to 10. And I've never filled that out. There's just little like check boxes. Like I'm feeling like at an 8 today. I'm feeling
is that 2. Because you feel no stress and anxiety?
I mean, I feel some, but I think I feel a healthy amount. Like by no means has it ever defined my day. So, I mean, that's available for anyone who's curious about that. Like, oh, I do feel like stress and anxiety. I want to combat that. But for me, I'm like, well, I don't feel the need to track my stress. Like, ideally, you're going to see it go down over time. But I'm like, if I'm already starting
at a 5,
if I'm already, normal. Yeah, or like whatever low stress is, like, I don't need to see that go down. Same thing with like, you know, working out. Some people want to lose weight. But other people are like, well, actually, I want to like just maintain a healthy weight. So I don't need to track my weight necessarily. Or I guess you could track it because
I think it depends on what your goals are and what your intentions are, right? Like that's why people will track different attributes for different purposes.
I had a friend, this is going way back, like 15, maybe even 20 years. And he one time was like, we were just in a small group and he was talking about how he's like, so each night I do this thing where I just sit down in this chair and we're like, oh, and we're like, oh yeah, you think about your day. He's like, no, I don't. We're like, oh, so you like kind of plan your next day. He's like, no, I don't. We're like, oh, we get it. Oh, you're praying. He's like, no, I'm not even doing that. We're like, well, what are you doing? He's like, I'm thinking about nothing. And we couldn't understand that. And I'm not sure he understood necessarily like what he was starting to dabble with at the time. But I remember that conversation because now, like, I think at least I'm at a point where I have a little bit more like language and awareness of the practice of mindfulness and like maybe what he was experimenting with, why it was so foreign to me at the time. I'm like, what a waste of time. Like, why don't you think about something? He's like, no, that's the point. I don't get it. But now I get it. Now the idea of, I won't say thinking about nothing, but of seeing our thoughts as something different from ourselves that we can control, we can watch by, or we can watch go by and have a different relationship to than letting every thought that comes up just define who we are.
All right. So I think I have probably a final thought.
Let's hear it.
All right. So we move into Thanksgiving this week. You know, maybe you're going to listen to this the day before Thanksgiving and stress is high, anxiety is high, right? You're dealing with family. Family's coming into town. They're staying at your house.
What's on the menu?
Right.
To make everybody happy.
Correct. Like all of that, all the things. And maybe you're pulling grab bags for Christmas while you're together for the next time that you meet. Like, right. It can be an overwhelming time of year. My kids are home all week. And so then, you know, it's the dance of everybody's home, but you're working, but you're not. And all of the things, you know, I think there's time to, I don't even know where I was going with this. I had a point and it's gone, but.
Something about gratitude in
I don't know,
the midst
like,
of chaos.
I think that's part of it. You know, if we think back to last year or the year before, like, you know, family is hard, you know, but, you know, don't let the stress of or the different people who come to the table, like, diminish, like, what's true and what's valuable, right? I would, you know, I was talking to your sister and like, I would trade a lot of things this Thanksgiving, you know, to have things changed, right? Like a mother-in-law that was on my case about what I was serving. Like some people are going to have that and don't want that, but I would trade a couple things, you know, to have that back.
To have my mom back. Yeah.
Correct. And so I think those are the things that we have to remember is year to year, day to day, week to week, things change. And we're never going to get those things back. So when we're at the table, just being present and looking around and, you know, taking a deep breath and letting the things that stress us out go and just seeing what's in front of us for what it is.
That's beautiful.
As I tear up and couldn't think of my thought, but it's because the thought, the thought came, you know, of your mom or even of our kids that they're growing. You know, you look at our kids and you're thinking, wow, where's the time going? How many more Thanksgivings before one of them is out of town with their fiance or, you know,
one of them shows up right. with a plus one.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, and even my mom said, like, maybe in, like, two more years, like, you'll be doing Thanksgiving. And then, you know, what that then means for, like, you know, the shift of holidays or my parents getting older. Like, everything is so temporary. And so are you seeing the good in what is right now?
Yeah. Well, we wanted to, as become our annual custom now, to talk about gratitude around Thanksgiving because it's a beautiful holiday that reminds us that this is really core to who we are as individuals, but I would also say as Americans in general. So a lot to be thankful for both locally and nationally.
Well, one thing we're thankful for is you guys, those of our listeners who have never missed an episode, who continue to share episodes with friends and family, for leaving ratings and reviews. We are thankful for you. You guys give us this great space to kind of just kind of share what we're learning and what we're doing. And we love and are grateful for hearing back from you about what you're doing, what you're learning, and what you want to hear about.
It's true. That's what I was going to say, but I would have been more awkward about it.
You would have been.
So thank you, lovely listeners. So speaking of being thankful, next week is Rosanna's 40th birthday. So wish her a happy birthday. But you're going to hear us, I guess, be thankful for our 30s. And you'll hear us opine about what it means to be getting older.
Oh, joy.
So that's a little preview for next week. But we do hope that you have a fantastic Thanksgiving and that this time of year is a blessing to all of you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you'll use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.